Thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews have been protesting over the weekend in Jerusalem to defend their contentious effort to ban the mixing of the sexes on buses, sidewalks and other public spaces. These practices are rejected by mainstream Judaism, and efforts by a minority group to impose its lifestyle on others has provoked anger among secular Israelis and among the wider ultra-Orthodox community. Israel's Supreme Court has ruled against segregation. Meanwhile, as the new year dawns, so do hopes for peace and reconciliation in the Middle East. Gershon Baskin is co-chairman of the Israel-Palestine Centre for Research and Information. He spoke to us about the prospects for a brighter 2012.
Talk to us about what you have been involved in over the last 24 years, what exactly your organisation has been doing.
IPCRI, as we call it, the Israel-Palestine Center for Research and Information, is a joint Israeli-Palestinian, what we call a public policy think tank. I helped to create it 24 years ago with the idea that the peace between Israel or the Israeli people and the Palestinian people would only be possible in the framework of a two states for two people solution. That was the basic rationale behind creating the organization. It was at the time of the first Intifada, when the Palestinians were first uprising in popular movements against the Israeli occupation, but they had changed their political discourse from one that existed prior to 1987, which was a singular secular democratic state on the whole land between the river and the sea, and moved more to the discourse of a two-state solution of recognizing Israel and accepting the idea of a Palestinian state in the occupied territories. At that time, it seemed to me that the issues were no longer existential in nature. It was no longer a question of us or them. It was a question of us and them and how. And once a conflict moves out of an existential phase, it becomes one about specific issues. I identified about seven key issues, and I presented it to a group of Israelis and Palestinians and said, is this what the conflict's about Palestinian statehood, about the delineation of borders, about Jerusalem, refugees, etc., etc.? And everyone agreed. Everyone I met, Israelis and Palestinians, said, yes, these are the issues that the conflict is about. And it seemed logical to me that the first stage of conflict resolution is agreeing what you're fighting about. So once there was agreement on that, it seemed to be the natural stage next to put together groups of experts of Israelis and Palestinians and figure out solutions. And basically, that's what we did for about 15 or 20 years. Over the last 5 years or so, we've been trying to fight the political unwillingness of both sides, the leadership and the people, to make the decisions that everyone knows have to be made and to try and gather support in the international community for that to happen. Along the way, we've also created frameworks for Israelis and Palestinians to work together in the field of education, environment, water issues, agriculture, business development, economic relations. So it's really been multidisciplinary and broad-based. And in these 24 years, we've organized thousands of meetings between Israelis and Palestinians, workshops, seminars, courses, conferences, constantly, all the time, every week.
You're talking about all the work that's been going on, and it's probably unsung work that's been going on. And people will probably say, well, over these years, we don't see much change. We don't see a peace deal. We don't see. But I suppose if you're looking at it in a particular way, there are things that have been going on that people don't even know about.
There's a lot that's been going on that people don't know about. And we have to look in retrospect and remember that when I founded IPCRI 24 years ago, there were about 3% of the Israeli public who supported the idea of a Palestinian state, of a two-state solution. And today it's about 70%. There's also 65% about support for the solution in general on the Palestinian side. But again, because of a failed peace process, because of the bad agreements that were made, because the leaders did not implement the agreements with good faith, we have a situation of a failed process, which has created all this negative trust. So we have a mirror image on both sides of the conflict of public opinion, where each side says, we want peace, we're the good guys. It's the other side that doesn't. We can't trust them. They're not honest. They're not working to fulfill their part of the agreement. And that's what we've had develop over the years in revenge and back and forth ping pong of who's worse and who's better and who's doing more to damage the process. And what we lack is real leadership. But throughout the years, even this week, when things look so horrible, we managed to bring Israelis and Palestinians together to talk and to try and figure out how we get out of this terrible situation.
I wanted to ask you, Gershon, how much has it taught you? How much has being co-director of IPCRI taught you, and how much have you learned over the past 24 years?
I've learned a tremendous amount. First of all, people call me a walking encyclopedia on this conflict, on the peace process, all the agreements and the meetings. And probably there are very few people around who have spent so long at it, so constantly, 24/7, who know the insides and the outsides of all the issues and all the people and all the agreements. So in terms of that, there's a tremendous amount of knowledge that I've gained. But in the human sense, I don't think that there's probably anyone in the country who has more contacts on both sides of people who are concerned and interested in working on solutions. I go to Ramallah, I go to Bethlehem, I can go anywhere in the West Bank and run into people I know all over Israel. And I think the thing that I've learned most, and the thing that became so true in the secret negotiations for the release of Gilad Shalit, the prisoner exchange, was that when there's no trust between parties in conflict, which is always the situation in parties in conflict, when there are trusted relations between people who are negotiating, that makes all the difference.
What would you say are some of the main highlights? Over the past 24 years, there have been conflicts, there have been reconciliation, peace attempts, but what would you say are the main highlights of your tenure?
Well, I think one main highlight was in 1992, a year before the Oslo Treaty, the Declaration of Principles, was signed. We held a series of meetings between Israeli and Palestinian security experts, including people who were sent by Yasser Arafat from the PLO and senior people who were in contact with Prime Minister Rabin, who pre-negotiated all the security elements of what it would be necessary to begin a process of Israeli withdrawal and the creation of a Palestinian government. That was a major highlight. In the same year, we had an international Israeli-Palestinian conference on the future of Jerusalem and proposed a solution for Jerusalem, which I think is still the basis for any possible solution of divided sovereignty in the city based on demography within the city. We brought together the first group of water scientists in 1989, and they continue to work until today with several major conferences that took place and a lot of literature. I remember, just as an example, when we started working with Palestinian water experts, there was virtually no one who had actually any hands-on experience because the Israelis dealt with all the water issues. And today, there's a whole field of Palestinian water experts, the top people in the world working in the water field, and this has really developed. And I think we had a part in encouraging Palestinians to get real hardcore training in hydrology and hydrogeology, and not just the human rights of water issues, but the actual hands-on stuff. Certainly the highlight in my career, in my life, was the negotiations that brought about the release of Gilad Shalit after 5 years and 4 months in captivity, and the relationships which are developing and ongoing, and I will continue with people in Hamas, because I think this is another brick wall or Berlin Wall that we have to break down of people who don't talk to each other. We have to find ways of talking to each other. I can come up with another 20 examples, and each one of them would be a highlight.
Gershon, I wanted to come back to you about Gilad Shalit and the prisoner release. The second wave of prisoners were released there just very recently. There are many that would have said it was very controversial. There are many families that didn't appreciate the fact that prisoners were being released, many families of victims, obviously. What would your answer be to that?
Well, first of all, in my own family, I had that. My wife's first cousin was murdered by Hamas, and the person who butchered my wife's cousin was released in the prisoner deal, and the family was quite angry at me for having anything to do with it. What I would say is that, first of all, 90% of the Israeli public supported it, recognizing that it was controversial and it was difficult, but after 5 years and 4 months in captivity, there was no other way of bringing Gilad Shalit home. And I think most people recognized after they saw him that if he had been in much longer, maybe he wouldn't have survived it. There was no way that Israel could let this young soldier die in captivity. There's this social solidarity that exists in Israel and the unwritten covenant between the state and its people because of having a people's army. I think all this showed what an emotional event it was in Israeli society. So we can be angry and upset that murderers were released from prison, but I think that the overwhelming majority of Israelis would say it was worth it.
I want to turn to, well, I suppose the end of a year and the beginning of a new year for many people. People will be celebrating obviously Christmas, and then there'll be the new year obviously for Israelis, Palestinians. What does the new year bring? What will it bring, do you think? What would you like to see?
Well, it's not a very happy beginning at this new year, other than Shadid coming home and 1,027 Palestinian families who got their loved ones home out of prison. We're starting a new year with a presidential campaign in the United States that has paralyzed any chance of a peace process being guided by the international community led by the United States. Being left to their own, the Israelis and the Palestinians don't seem to be able to do it so far. They're not even talking to each other, which is very sad because I never heard anyone teach me how you make peace without talking. So this is not a good beginning for the new year. Things in Israel are very tense. The neighborhood is up in flames. Egypt is electing a very extremist, radical Islamic parliament. Syria, the difficulties there. Elections in Tunisia, it just doesn't look like a very happy neighborhood at this point. And I think there's a lot of anxiety in Israel, of course, with what's going on in Iran and the fear of an Iranian bomb and maybe an Israeli attack on Iran. So I just hope and pray that we manage to overcome these difficulties and that our leaders have the wisdom to reach out to each other secretly or openly and know that this conflict is resolvable. It has always been resolvable. It's more resolvable now than ever before. And again, what it takes is leadership.
Obviously, your tenure as co-director is coming to an end. You still remain chairman, but it's a new era for IPCRI. And I suppose there's new projects. What new projects, what new things are happening for you?
Well, we have two young people coming in, a young man named Dan Goldenblatt, who's the new Israeli director, and a young Palestinian woman who's a Muslim named Riman Barakat. I had actually dreamed that IPCRI would be taken over by two women, but we didn't manage to find the Israeli woman to take it over the job. So it's a man and a woman, which is a new team, and they're young people, and they're coming in with new ideas and new energy. And I, as co-chairman, together with Hannah Senora, who is my outgoing co-director, will provide them with the support and the help, the assistance that they need to set a new course. We're giving them pretty much a free hand to develop whatever they would like to develop. They're just entering the positions right now. Riman is only coming in February. And as long as they stick to the principles that this is a joint organization of working together in equality and supporting a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, they will have our backing. And hopefully they'll be able to come up with new ideas. After 24 years in the job, I managed to come up with new project ideas all the time. But I think we need some new young energy, and we need to get the younger generation involved in the work. Too many old-timers are involved in this, and not enough of the young people are involved in it.
You mentioned women there. You mentioned equality. That seems to be a big project for you.
Yes, we always stood for equality, working together, Israelis and Palestinians, in one office and one organization, making decisions together about everything. No decision is made without agreement on both sides. And we've made great efforts over the past years to involve more and more women in the work. And throughout the years of negotiations between Israel and Palestine, I think there have only been two women in senior negotiating positions, one on the Israeli side and one on the Palestinian side. And we definitely need more of a women's voice in this process of peacemaking, because I think they bring women bring a different quality of discussion to the table, a better focus on life and sustainability and less on the hardcore security issues, which have to be dealt with. But those aren't the issues that we build peaceful relations and reconciliation around.
Just on a final note, Gershon, just to sum up, what has it all meant to you?
Well, this is not an end. This is sort of a comma in a lifetime of work, and I'll be continuing working for peace, both through IPCRI and in other places. I never related to my job as a job, as work. This is a life decision, and one that I'm fully committed to and will continue to work toward. I think that IPCRI is an important institution. I'm glad that it's able to continue. We were considering closing down the doors because there's no finances in the world today to support peace, and that's very, very sad. We're really struggling just to exist. If we had some financial resources, a lot more financial resources, we could do a lot more. So I hope to help the new directors create a stronger institution as it was in the 1990s. And I will continue on. I'm planning to write a book now. I'm writing a book now on the secret negotiations for Gilad Shalit. And I hope to write a book afterwards looking at some of the lessons learned of 24 years of this work, because there's so much there that needs to be documented and shared with people. And I hope to continue to do whatever I can behind the scenes with my contacts with officials on both sides to continue leading us toward peaceful relations in this region.
On that note, Gershon, thank you so much.
And Merry Christmas to all the listeners and a Happy New Year to us all.